Midnight Madness. Some people might think that that's a sale at a department store, or Black Friday, or something like that. Oh, one other announcement before we go on. This is a party, but it's not the one you probably think of. I was told that the Wisconsin Energy Assistance Program does have money, and if you are interested in finding more about that, you could talk to Joel or to Tiffany, and they can help you after service. Joel told me about it, and I want to make sure. He said that at one point it was unfunded, and now they have the money, and so I just want to let you know that. So this looks like quite a party that you would like to be a part of. You know, get yourself hooked up in chains and whatnot. This is a story. We're going to take a look at a story about God's power that comes through the name of Jesus. We're going to take a look at worshiping God, experiencing God's power, experiencing God's freedom, and experiencing God's salvation. This story we're going to read it in Acts chapter 16. But take a look at those two guys. You saw who they were. One's called Paul, one's Silas. Paul's the older one, kind of baldish. I don't think that's an actual picture, but gives us a picture of who they are. So Acts chapter 16, verse 34, or 16 through 34, says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' And at that moment, the spirit left her." Verse 19 says, "When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten and with rods. After that, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks." As you saw in that picture, handcuffs, and then their feet were in stocks as well. Verse 25 says, About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped." That was what you had to do. If the prisoners would have escaped, then the jailer had to receive the crime that they were going to receive. So he would have received death, and so he was going to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Verse 29, "The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household." So it was it was midnight madness. It was a crazy time, and it's a great story that shares with us some important things. I'd like for us to focus beginning of verse 25, where it talks about at midnight they were praying and singing hymns to God. And I want us to talk about today worship of God, and what our focus of worship should be. So the question is, whom or what should our focus be in worship? You have to answer the question. I heard something, but not. Yes, we all should be worshiping. Who should we be worshiping? God. Okay, God. Yep. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So they were praying and singing hymns to God. The focus of our worship should be towards God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's who we are called to worship. The focus should not be on a worship leader and on the songs or on the speaker or those around us. Instead, we should focus on pleasing an audience of one. Sometimes people will say, oh, I can't worship because I don't like that song. Or I can't worship because they sing differently than I do. They sing, I just don't like their style. I like it better when somebody else leads. It's interesting to me. I've met a lot of people in a lot of churches, and that's what they say. They say, if it's not a hymn, then I'm not going to sing it. Then the younger group will say, if it's not a chorus, I'm not going to sing it. But we have the opportunity to worship the Lord and not focus on who the worship leader is, the songs, the speaker, and all the stuff that goes with it. I think I've noticed in most of the churches that I've served in that there are a few who get it totally and will worship the Lord no matter what's going on the platform. They tend to have gray hair, and they're not worried about anything really, and so they just kind of will worship the Lord even though they may not like the style of music or whatever. They're worshiping God. They're not focused on what's happening with the song. And I think all of us, no matter what our age is, should do the same. And so I invite you to be a part of that. I'd like to take a look at some expressions of worship. Worship is, what kind of a word is worship? You know, noun, adjective, verb. It's a verb. So what does verb mean? Action, requires action on our part. So worship is a verb, and it requires action on our part, on each of us. Not just select people, but every single one of us in here has a responsibility to worship God. And it has nothing to do really with singing, but we're going to talk about some ways we can worship Him. It's also not just for Sundays. Some people think, okay, it's Sunday, so I'm gonna worship the Lord and I'm gonna glorify His name, and then I'm good for the rest of the week. No, we have the opportunity to worship God all the time. It's a continuous act of response from our hearts to God. Yes, every day. That is correct. Whereby we declare how worthy God is. And He is worthy. He's worthy to be worshipped and adored and worthy to be prayed. So why do we worship the Lord? Why do we worship the Lord? We worship Him because we were created to do so. We were created to do so. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he talks about the fact that through Jesus Christ, He created us. And for him, we were created by him and for him. Our purpose in life is to serve God and to worship Him and to glorify His name. And so I think we're designed. I think within each of us there's a place within our hearts where God there's a place where God wants to be and desires to be. I think He created us that way, and we're not fulfilled until we open that door up and allow Him to come into our hearts and accept Him as our Savior. And I think then we have the opportunity to grow in Him. We also worship Him because of who He is. We worship Him because of who He is, His characteristics, His names. Throughout Scripture, there are a variety of names of God and some characteristics. Can you just give me a couple of characteristics of who God is and what He does? Holy. Love.
Savior.
Someone who's there for you through the good times and bad times. Okay, He's always there.
Joy.
He brings joy. Healer. Peace. Yeah.
Compassionate.
He is compassionate. Okay, yeah. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He's before all things, and He'll be here after all things. Yes, He is very caring. So we worship Him because of who He is. First of all, we worship Him because we're created to do so. We worship Him because of who He is, and we worship Him because of what He's doing or what He's done in our lives. How many of you in here have had Him do something for you before? Yeah, pretty much everybody should be raising their hand, because He's brought salvation to you, even if He's done nothing else but brought salvation to your heart. He's done a work in your life. So next week we're going to get an opportunity to hear two testimonies of God's healing power and how He ministers. So we worship God because of what He's doing and what He's done in our hearts and lives. It's not based on feelings. A lot of times people base their worship on how they feel. You know, I had a rough day, so I can't worship today. I'm not going to raise my hands at all. I'm just going to sit there with my hands in my pocket. And that's because I had a rough day. Well, if we take a look at what Paul and Silas experienced, they were stripped. They were beaten with rods. They were thrown in prison. They were put in stocks. And they probably had a right to not worship God. They probably had a right to just sit back and just go on. But what did they do? Instead of cursing, they were blessing God. And they didn't do it quietly. It said that all the prisoners heard them. I don't think everybody, they were in the inner cell. So in the prison, I don't think that they were all right next to each other. I think that they were worshiping God loudly and glorifying His name to the point that all the prisoners heard them. I have been to to the Miami Dolphin football games before. I have been to University of Washington and some other places. I've been to other sporting events where people are screaming their lungs out for teams. I have watched you guys. Nobody has a Packers shirt on today. Oh, it's a bye week. They don't play, you don't wear. Okay, I got it. But I have watched Packers fans. They're a little rabid, you know, a little crazy. They got that little Lambo leap where the guys jump up into the crowd and do the mosh pit thing where they're passed along. Where we rejoice of who they are and their great accomplishments. But sometimes we come into the church and we think, oh, it's different here. It's different here. We're supposed to be quiet and we're not supposed to be loud. We're just supposed to be quiet and we're supposed to worship God this way. But that's not really what it's all about. Say again? All right, okay. So Luke gives us two expressions of worship. What are the two that he shares with us in this story? Two things that Paul and Silas did. Okay, they sang and prayed. So those are two expressions of worship, ways we can worship God. I want us to take a look at some others. First one is verbal. What are some verbal ways that we can worship God? Okay, so we can speak. We can testify of what God has done. What else?
Sing.
We can sing. We can praise.
Pray.
We can pray. Thanking him. Yeah. We can whisper. Or we can shout. I wasn't planning on doing that, but it just kind of hit me. So worship can be a variety of things. It can be loud, it can be soft, it can be quiet. There are times where we can just worship God and there's nothing else happening. So what are some nonverbal ways that we can worship God? Nonverbal. That means without words. Okay?
Dance.
Okay, we could dance. Stephanie's got your number. She's your fan. She likes that one. Although I have not ever seen her dance here since I've been here.
Laughing.
Okay. Joy brings laughter. Crying. Caring for others. Ministering to their needs. When we do that, we're ministering to God. We're worshiping God. What are these? What can we do with our hands?
Clap.
Okay. And Trisha showed us we can raise our hands. You know, I was raised in the United Methodist Church. That was not something that we did. You may have been raised here in the area as a Catholic or a Lutheran. That's not one of those things that you do. But in the Bible, it talks about the fact that we're to lift our hands to him and to worship him. I don't have a wallet in my back pocket right now, but how, if I had that in my hand, what would I be able to do with it?
Give me all your money.
Yeah. Worship God by giving. Yes. Not giving you all my money. That wouldn't be good. Reading the Bible, meditating on God's word, what it says. That doesn't take me talking, doesn't take me doing anything other than reading, making time to do so. And then if there's no noise going on, it's called silence. And he says, be still and know that I am God. So there are times where we take that moment where we're just quiet and we know who God is. Yes, Mary. Yeah, we talked about that last week, that whatever we do, we're not to do it unto man, but we're to do it as unto the Lord. Okay, how about worship in regards to postures? Postures. Everybody know what that means, postures? Okay, raising your arms. We talked about that, yeah. What am I doing?
Standing.
Okay, what are you doing? Okay, so there's two ways. What else? Kneeling, lying prostrate, jumping,
marching.
We're marching to Zion. Yes, I'm sorry. Not everybody raises their hand. They just shout it out. You're so polite. Sitting up straight? Well, that makes your mom happy. I don't know if God cares if you sit up straight. You could probably lounge and God's still okay with that, but that is important. Somebody's taught you that. So bowing, dance. Oh, bowing. We can bow. Lay prostrate. Everybody knows what that means. Like laying face down on the floor. That's scriptural. It's in the Bible. Standing, sitting, kneeling, bowing, dancing. What about our eyes? Yeah. Do we have to have our eyes closed to worship God? I don't think so. I think we can have them open or closed. So this opens up a variety of ways we can worship God. And you're not locked into one specific way of doing things. And you don't, if you don't maybe feel comfortable doing something, then you don't do it. You feel what you worship God how you feel comfortable. And I think that as you do so, God gradually works on your heart and will encourage you to take a step out of your little who you are. So maybe you've never raised your hands before, and God may speak to your heart and say, do it, and so you may do this. So, you know, gradually God works in us. What he's looking for is that we will worship him, that we will worship him, and however that is, I think he is pleased. So let's take a look at what God's response to worship was in this story. What were some things that happened? What was the first thing that happened when they were worshiping God? Earthquake. Yeah, the earthquake came. Have you ever been in an earthquake? Anybody in here? It's quite an experience. Yeah. We've been in some doozies in Alaska. So, so an earthquake. The ground was shaking. The whole prison was shaking. It said that the whole prison from its foundation shook. And so that's a pretty powerful, violent earthquake. Okay, so the earthquake came, the prison was shaken. What about the doors? Yeah, they were open. How many of the doors were open? All of the doors were open. Now, to me, that is interesting, because wouldn't you have thought it would just be Paul and Silas's doors that were opened? Because they were the ones that were praising God. They were ones that were worshiping and singing unto God. But it says that everybody's doors were open. All the doors were open. And what about what happened next? Chains, yeah, chains were broken. Chains came off. And whose chains came off? Everyone's chains came off. Yeah. Only two people were doing the worshiping and praising. But everyone's chains came off. Everyone's door opened up. I think that when we worship God, especially in a setting like this, when we worship God, that we have an effect on not only on God, but we have an effect on each other, and we can encourage others on to worshiping Him. It has an effect. I think that God moves and does things when we're worshiping. Okay, so everyone's chains fell off. First the earthquake, prison was shaken, all the doors were open. Everyone's chains fell off. So everybody was set free, basically. They were set free. The jailer comes in. He wants to kill himself because he thinks everybody has left and fled, and he's going to die anyway. So he finds that they're not, but he asks, How can I be saved? What do I need to do to experience what you've experienced? And what did they tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Okay. That's important. That's important. Because there are situations sometimes where maybe we... a member of our family gets saved, but the rest of our family is not following the Lord. That's something to grab onto and believe that it's for that person, and it's also for that household. That you can claim that God that God desires that you would, that he would bring salvation to that entire household. And you can pray for that spouse or for those kids, that they would receive salvation. So in this story, we see that the jailer and his family received salvation. This was a supernatural experience. It was a powerful experience. I think it was powerful for everyone that was there, even the other prisoners. It had to be amazing to them. You know, they're minding their own business, being a prisoner, and here all the doors open up, all the chains fall off, and first of all, these guys are singing and praying and making new noise, and everybody is being set free. So I think that's important to see. So what happens when we worship, whether it's here or if it's at home or if it's in our car, what do you think God's response to worship is? Do you think some of the same things can happen? I think so too. I think when we worship the Lord, some very powerful things can take place, because his word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That means he lives where the praises are. So when we praise God, then he is there. We already know he's here. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there I am in your midst. But when we worship him, then I believe that it brings his presence in an even fuller way. When we worship the Lord, his presence is manifest or revealed, because he inhabits or dwells within the praises of his people. And when his presence is revealed, his power is there as well. So when God is, when we worship God, his presence comes. When his presence comes, his power comes. So when his power is here, then what can happen? Yeah, supernatural things. Earthquakes can happen, and prison doors can open, and chains can fall off, and people can find freedom, and people can find salvation. So when his presence is revealed, so is his power. I believe that when we come together and we worship God, or when we worship God on our own, I believe that he can bring refreshing. Sometimes we have maybe had a crazy week and have just Pastor Al is working on rebuilding this house that as a hobby. And in doing so, it requires a lot of work and a lot of effort. So he, like the rest of us, comes into this place the same way as you do, and is tired. But when we worship God, refreshing can come, and he can restore us and renew us. I believe that he does set people free when we worship. And I believe it's not just the people who are doing the worshiping. I believe that he sets the people free who are in the area. And I believe that he can speak to us. In the New Testament and the book of Acts, it talks about speaking in tongues and prophecy. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the things that occur where God, somebody may speak in tongues, and then there may be an interpretation. Somebody may just prophesy and declare what God is saying. I believe that when we worship, that God can speak to his people and tell us what his desires are. So, what does this mean for me or us, each one of us, today? What is it that I need to do? What does our response to God need to be? I think the first thing that we need to do is set aside time that we worship the Lord. Again, it's not just Sunday. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to set aside Sunday morning and I'm going to worship the Lord. That's pretty easy because we all can come in here and worship God. But he desires that outside of that. And it's not just singing. We talked about all the different things we can do to worship God. It doesn't require that we have a good voice. You know, it's nice that we have good voices and people can sing and lead us in worship. But we don't have to be, you know, an opera singer to have God receive praise. He will take it any way that he can. So we need to set aside time in our lives to worship the Lord. You know, reading his word, praying, talking to him, listening to him, singing praises to his name, just telling him thanks for who he is and for what he's done in our lives. So how do we do it? We already talked about it. There are lots of different ways. Sometimes we can do it in our comfort zone, how we feel, and other times we can step out of it and we can worship him in ways that are biblical but are out of our comfort arena. Where can we worship him? Anywhere. Used to be in the Old Testament, there was only one place you could do it, you know, in the temple. That was the only place, or in the tabernacle. But now we can go outside of that. We can worship God anywhere because now he dwells within us. Dwells with us. When can we do it? We have certain times that we can, only certain times that we can do it. 24/7, yes. Our daughter, youngest daughter, Natasha, she works for a ministry called the International House of Prayer, IHOP for short, not pancakes, but they have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they have prayer going on. And while they have prayer going on, they also have worship going on. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, prayer and intercession and worship is going up to God. So anytime we can do it. Some of us have different shifts, so we can even worship God at work. You probably didn't think you could do that. But yeah, we can worship God at work. That doesn't mean we have to act crazy or do anything like that, but we can still take opportunities to just thank God for what he's, who he is and what he's done in our lives. So his desire is that we would worship him. And that's what I think he's asking for us to do today, to worship him and to glorify his name. So that's what we're going to do for a brief moment. And we're going to invite the folks back, and they're going to lead us in a song, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to put into practice the things that we talked about here today. And before you walk out the door, remember to help clean out the storage room for food fill-up. Also, if you are in need of firewood, I forgot to announce that too. I have firewood at my house if you heat with wood. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for who you are and for what you mean to us. And we just want to take this moment this morning to declare your praises, and we're going to worship you and glorify your name. And I just pray that you would inhabit the praises of your people, that you would be worshiped and adored. Be with us as we go throughout this week, that you would give us opportunities to praise your name and to glorify you and worship you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him. Thank you.
was bending my heart to fear, and grace my feeling. Don't gracious dim, and grace appear. The hour of failing, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have a running thus far, and grace will lead me.
Praise this morning, O God. We worship you,